Well, here we are. Branding in 2025 does not look anything like it did even just 10 years ago. Yes, it's almost a cliché to say that, but let's ground it in the numbers. According to the 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer, only 44% of people believe brands are honest about their values, less than half. At the same time, 73% of Gen Z say they expect brands to drive real social change, but just 28% believe they actually follow through. That gap is where today's dysfunction lives. What we see now is branding that feels not only busy or loud, but emotionally oversaturated. Every campaign is performing care, connection, or politics, and yet most of it reads as theater. Take American Eagle's 2025 campaign with Sydney Sweeney. On the surface, it leaned into therapy core aesthetics and a performance of vulnerability, but what it really signaled was the next phase of branding as provocation. The ad was less about empathy than about cultural instigation, sparking debate around gender codes and identity politics to drive visibility. That's the new logic: campaigns that trade on controversy, not coherence. This is where cultural fatigue sets in. We're watching a steady procession of ads competing to be the most intimate, the most sensitive, the most politically charged, but with follow-through so thin it's almost transparent. What looks like empowerment or connection often conceals fragility. Brands exposing themselves to culture, but only in a way that performs sincerity rather than sustaining it. That's the thesis for today. The promises sound powerful on the surface, but scratch even lightly, and the dissonance shows through. To understand how we got to this weary ritual state, we need to rewind to the first big rupture, the recession of 2008. So, 2008. The mood then was more than economic panic. It was the sense that the guardrails of institutional trust had collapsed overnight. Suddenly, brands stepped into the vacuum, offering not just products but entire systems for living. Adaptive individualism became the narrative. Survival was no longer about what your government or employer could provide, but about what you could patch together with a new toolkit of apps and platforms. Autonomy through technology. Supposed empowerment Airbnb, for example, launched right in the thick of the recession. It democratized travel, created income streams, and gave people a way to get by. But the other side of that story was housing shortages, regulatory chaos, and an informal economy with no worker protections. DuckDuckGo framed privacy as freedom. It reset expectations about data use, which mattered, but it also pushed us deeper into epistemic isolation, where everyone's truth could stand untethered. And then there was Goop, wellness as empowerment. It gave legitimacy to self-care, but at the cost of turning health into a market for elite pseudo-solutions. These weren't just companies selling things. They began to act like micro-governments, setting rules, distributing tools, shaping survival playbooks. But here's the part that mattered most. Under the surface of all that autonomy and minimalism was a sneaky isolation. People were told they were empowered, yet they were left to fend for themselves with no real backstop. Empowerment masked precarity. That logic, promise on the surface, fragility underneath, doesn't just belong to 2008. It resurfaces in different forms all the way through to 2025. And then there was this interregnum, 2011 to 2020. The word itself means the space between crises, when the old order is fading but nothing new has truly taken hold. That's exactly what this period felt like. It wasn't open rebellion anymore. It was refinement. Brands sharpened their aesthetic game. Everything was visually fluent. Instagram minimalism, identity-driven, built for signaling. Trust was less about substance and more about tone, about image. The less you looked under the hood, the more authentic it seemed. Transparency became the magic word, but much of it was cosmetic. Everlane built its reputation on radical transparency, yet when the curtains were pulled back, the operations didn't always live up to the story. Glossier invited people into what felt like a democratized beauty club, but inside, inequities contradicted the inclusivity projected on its campaigns. Patreon gave creators direct financial agency, which mattered, but the trade-off was instability and a dependency loop that exposed creators more than it protected them. The pattern here is clear. Brands mastered quick responses, but beneath the gloss they were brittle. They promised intimacy, but it was pseudo-intimacy, and it folded when pressed. Accountability was performed, but fragility is what actually grew. And then COVID arrived. That period was a tangled knot. The stress was more than financial. It saturated relationships, routines, and our sense of stability. Brands shifted sharply. They weren't just tools anymore. They became a kind of emotional scaffolding. Zoom became a lifeline. It wasn't just another meeting app. It was essential for work, family, and sanity. But it also piled on digital exhaustion, connection under duress rather than by choice. TikTok exploded into a shared cultural language for a world stuck at home. It democratized creativity, yes, but it also fueled performance of self, comparison culture, and a flood of misinformation. Discord hit the mainstream by building tight-knit micro-communities. That gave people belonging and resilience, but it also encouraged fragmentation and made safety difficult to police. And then there was Mad Happy, building an entire identity around optimism and mental health. It reframed fashion as solidarity, but risked turning vulnerability into another uniform, optimism into a prescription. What ties them all together is this. Brands became emotional lifelines, but that dependency bred fragility. Empathy was pumped out at scale, mimicked more than sustained. Campaigns promised care, then cycled quickly to the next. Trust, betrayal, renewal, on repeat. And the cultural result was exhaustion. So here we are in 2025. What's different now is expressive overreach. Everywhere you turn, brands are using the language of care, promising wellness, belonging, healing, on every ad, every feed, every website. But when you look for the actual support systems behind those words, they're thin to non-existent. Brands keep asking people to hand over their identities, yet offer little protection or real value in return. American Eagle's 2025 campaign with Sydney Sweeney is a case in point. It leaned into therapy speak and identity politics, all wrapped in the aesthetics of care. But underneath, it was a provocation machine. The ad was engineered to spark conversation, debate about gender codes, cultural symbols, vulnerability, and it worked in that narrow sense. It went viral, people argued, memes circulated. But sales barely moved. The campaign's real product was controversy. The scandal was the ad. That's the dynamic of branding today. Campaigns designed less to sell jeans or soda than to act as political theatre. Edelman now reports that 52% of consumers see brands as political actors, more like soft participants in culture wars than commercial entities. The result is a cycle where provocation fuels attention but steadily erodes trust. Branding eats its own tail. And the open question is whether there's a way out of these spectacle-driven loops, or if this has become the only playbook left. Let's try to chart a path forward, even if it's unclear. The past 15 years have shown that when brands adopt the language of culture without the responsibility to back it up, the result is exhaustion and cynicism. To move ahead, three realities need to be faced. First, branding has become theatre and everyone knows it. The constant performance is tiring. Second, provocation and controversy are running out of steam. Consumers see through them faster than ever. Third, small but important signals are emerging. People are turning to anonymous platforms, utility-first products, and ritual-based alternatives as a kind of shelter from constant identity extraction. Here's the challenge. Entering consumer rituals has become perilous. After years of overexposure, people are quick to withdraw or disengage. That means brands need to stop chasing the next trend and start diagnosing what's actually frayed. where mistrust and fatigue are deepest. Cultural intelligence in practice looks like this: listening to subcultures instead of just scanning headlines, tracking where people are tuning out, and asking why. Supporting practices like refilling, reusing, and shared routines that create value without demanding constant self-disclosure. Building digital environments that feel like support systems instead of surveillance systems. And treating transparency not as a slogan, but as a baseline. Resilience will not come from spectacle or more identity harvesting. It will come from designing shared behaviors that earn trust and allow people to belong without being mined. That sounds simple, but it requires a fundamental reset. Less extraction, more reciprocity. To recap, in the recession, disruption gave people a sense of autonomy, but at the hidden cost of greater precarity. The interregnum was about style, pseudo-intimacy built on fragile foundations. During the pandemic, brands leaned into empathy, but dependency produced its own kind of exhaustion. And now, in 2025, we're awash in spectacle. It drives engagement but steadily erodes trust. In 1979, historian and social critic Christopher Lash published The Culture of Narcissism: American Life in an Age of Diminishing Expectations. His critique of commodified identity resonates with the trajectory of branding since 2008, where disruption, intimacy, and sincerity have each yielded unintended costs, precarity, fatigue, and dissonance. This is not a story of generational decline, but of systemic repetition. Cultural language is absorbed, while cultural responsibility is neglected. The lesson from the past 15 years is that the future of branding isn't about crafting the next big message. It's about designing systems that embed care, reciprocity, and sustainable belonging. Every brand success carries hidden costs, and ignoring those costs is what has led to today's fatigue. The challenge now is to move from spectacle to stewardship. That means shifting away from grabbing attention at all costs and toward holding the cultural fabric together. It will not be easy, but if the next era of branding is to survive, it has to move beyond performance and prove its care in real, lasting ways. If not now, when? Thanks for listening to Analyzing Trends. Until next time, we'll keep tracing the signals, the ruptures, and the responsibilities shaping where culture and brands go next.